for less. It's all in your head, how you think you manifest. So get ready to rise, cause we about to be the best. Gotta switch it up, gotta break the old habits. Get your mind right, turn your dreams into habits. Don't negative vibes, only positive thoughts.
What is up? What is up? What is up, guys? With another episode of the Mindset Cafe podcast. It is your boy Devin, and today I'm thrilled to have on a special guest for you guys, Lisa Franz. She is a nutrition coach. She is a podcast host. She is a digital nomad who is really revolutionizing the way we think about not only achieving our health, but also our fitness as well. And you already know with the Mindset Cafe, all about personal development, everything that we do at Strive too. So it's going to be awesome having her come on. She has a master's degree in exercise science, health promotion, and nutrition. And with over 5 years of coaching experience, she's helped over 300 clients really discover, you know, how to choose between the life that you love and the body that you love, right? So I'm honored to have you on the podcast today, Lisa. You know, thank you for taking the time.
Devin, it's a pleasure to be here. Thank you so much for that wonderful introduction as well.
Of course. So let's dive straight in. You know, how did you get into, you know, the nutritional space, the fitness space? Like, what was your journey leading up to, you know, it all?
Well, to be honest, it came out of personal struggles as well. So I was in the same boat that many people are in. I tried so many different diets because I thought otherwise I would just not be able to have the body that I wanted. So I was essentially doing paleo, keto, low carb, vegan, whatever. And I just always felt restricted, especially with the lifestyle that I wanted to lead, which was traveling and being social and so on. And after a while, I was just super, super frustrated. But thankfully, at some point, I learned that essentially it comes down to calorie balance and knowing how to have the right macros and the right portions, which would still allow me to have a piece of cake from time to time, or a slice of pizza, or a glass of wine on date night or so. And that was such a liberating, freeing experience. And I always talk about it in the sense of food freedom that I think many people are looking for. And that's allowed me to, create the life that I want and still live that in the body that I really appreciate and enjoy living in. And I've made it my mission to teach others to do the same thing.
No, that's awesome. And, you know, having a similar background as yourself, you know, it's one of those things where I guarantee you're probably the same way, right? It is so rewarding to see someone all of a sudden have that light bulb moment when you're teaching them about nutrition, when you're teaching them about fitness. And then the most rewarding, it's almost like a drug high for us as coaches and trainers, when your client comes back, it's so ecstatic and excited that they hit their goals, and there's no other feeling like it, that you just help truly transform someone's life, not only just right then, but now you've given them tools to essentially really know how to do this forever, right?
So that's 100%. I love what you said there, because it truly is my goal, and I think it should be every good coach's goal, that to set people up for long-term success on their own, so that they're not dependent on you, and away from that scarcity thinking into, hey, we're going to empower these people. And not just that, because if people are successful with what they're doing, they're going to pass that on to their children. They're going to live a longer and happier life as well. So truly, it's just a whole cascade. And it really, like you say, sometimes when people come back from like, hey, I wasn't afraid of that carb anymore, or hey, I was on vacation and I actually maintained my weight. And like, that's a really big point. I think nowadays, we or most people struggle with moderation when it comes to anything. It's so easy to like yo-yo back and forth, or we love the extremes. And we're told by society that that is quote unquote the norm. It's normal to gain weight over the holidays, or it's normal to come back 5 pounds heavier from vacation, to go extreme on the weekends, and to over-restrict during the week. And that's really something that I want to help people move away from, because I don't think that truly that leads to a fulfilled life. I think that actually when we experience it, we realize that moderation and temperance and all that sort of a little bit more self-restraint, but still enjoying in smaller quantities, is actually a lot more fulfilling long term.
100%. No, and I definitely agree with you. And something that you said earlier right there, it was like, you want to be able to teach people how to do this stuff long term, right? And this is one of the biggest things when I was doing personal training. I would tell clients, like, you know, within, you know, 8 weeks, 12 weeks, whatever the case was for that person, like, you'll learn and you'll achieve majority of the goals, right? But you also learn how to keep going and achieve them. Mm-hmm. So my goal isn't to keep signing you up on packages, you know, and obviously you do have those clients that wanted to stick with you. They like the accountability and so forth. And I said, I'm not going to kick you away after the 8 or 12 weeks, but you should be able to do this on your own, right? That's where some coaches need to kind of get that right in their own head. Like, you're not doing this to lead a client on to think they need you forever. That's not a coach, right? A coach is someone that's teaching someone else how to do something. You're coaching them how to be sufficient without you, right?
That's such a good point. I think, I mean, generally speaking, I am a huge proponent of having a coach in various areas of your life, whether that's financially, relationships, or obviously nutrition or training. But I think at some point you should get to the point where you maybe not necessarily outgrow your coach, but where you have gotten what you can from that one coach. And then it might be time to take a little break and continue on your own, and then maybe look for a new coach. But if you're always with the same coach, there is some benefit to that in the sense that they already really know you very, very well. For example, I do have clients with whom I have worked with maybe 4 or 3 years. And to your point, they love it for the point of accountability. They love it for the point of, hey, we already know that it's pretty normal how your body response to XYZ, and so we can just keep on building on that. But the majority of people, they're like with me for like maybe 8 to 18 months, somewhere but in that realm, and then they go out on their own and they might find a different coach with whom they work on something else on. And yeah, I think that is such a good point. You shouldn't, as a coach, you shouldn't go into it like, oh, I need to keep that client for as long as possible.
Yeah, you got to realize as a coach, like, if you give a client the results and you teach them how to do this thing, whether they stay or not, and they become one of those like lifelong clients, right? Because you will have those kind of people. But if your goal is to keep all those clients lifelong, then you have it wrong. But if you're giving people the things that they need in the time frame that you say they're going to do it, they're going to tell other people. Like, you're still going to be busy. So having that scarcity mindset of, is there going to be another client, is really only limiting you, because now you're going to end up having two clients that want to replace that one client, and then four to replace those two, and so forth. Right. And you just got to make sure that you shift that mindset a little bit as a coach. I love that you're saying that, but I want to really dive into, you know, some of the stuff that you teach, right? So the nutrition and everything, right? Can you explain a little bit, nutritional periodization and why it's so important for maintaining hormone and metabolic health?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's a big term, as you noted as well. And what it essentially means is actually like having a plan for after the plan. And what I mean by that is, most people say, I want to lose weight, or I want to gain muscle. And maybe they go a step further and they even have a particular number in mind, or they might say, I want to look more defined, or whatever it might be, sure. But oftentimes it, first of all, fails with defining that more clearly in the sense of action steps, but more importantly, in the sense of timeline. People don't necessarily think what's realistic, what's not realistic, and then what happens afterwards. So for example, in the instance of weight loss, we want to look at, right, how long is that going to take us? If someone wants to lose 15 pounds, many people might think, oh, I'm just going to do a 6-week crash diet and whatever, that's it. Well, that's the first problem. We want to go about in a moderate, healthy way. I generally don't really aim for much more than about, let's say, a pound per week, depending on your current situation. Of course, if you've got a lot more to lose, then that's different. But, you know, let's just say a pound per week. So that already gives people a bit of an expectation. Because if we go about it in a more moderate way, chances are you're going to pick up more of the habits and they're going to stick more along the way. And so you're not yo-yoing back and forth this time. That would be my goal. So again, establishing a timeline, but more importantly, then also when we get to the goal, I'm not going to say, okay, see you later, Maria, good luck now. For me, the most important thing is that we then reverse you out of this. And so that means going through a strategic progress of increasing the calories again. So when we want to lose weight, regardless of what dietary pattern we follow, we need to be in a calorie deficit. So meaning consuming less than what the body is burning. That's pretty clear to most people. But then when they get to the end of the diet, one of two things happen. Either they just go back to the previous ways of eating or say, oh, I want to just eat intuitively now. And that's one of the worst things we can do because your body is going to send you all the hunger signals to put that weight back on. It doesn't actually want you to lose the weight because a little bit of extra cushion is helpful if for you to survive. And so it's thinking, what if another hunger period comes along? I'm actually going to send that person to all the signals to gain the weight back and maybe a little bit more in case there is another hunger period. So you're going to experience more hunger. And on top of that, physiologically speaking, at that point in time, your body is also more inclined to store that extra food that you're eating because of your higher hunger signals as body fat. Again, more fat cells and so on, your body wants you to put the weight back on. So first red flag, don't try to do intuitive eating right after your diet. You're going to put that weight back on. The other thing that often happens is people are so scared of increasing their food again so that they stay in this really low calorie state. Particularly women are often prone to that, but I mean, actually probably both genders. So we don't want to stay there. That's not healthy for your metabolism. We get an adapted metabolism that way, meaning your body starts burning less. And number two, it's also not great for your hormones or if you ever want to lose weight again in the future, it's just not a good place to be. So we want to bring the calories back up to a maintenance level, so meaning the same amount of food going in then out. But we want to do that in a gradual, progressive manner so that your weight actually stays the same and you maintain your goals. And so that's the second part of periodization. And then we might think about, okay, are you really content with where you're at the moment? Or do you actually want to go into another weight loss phase, maybe in the later half of the year? Or maybe you want to even go into a muscle gaining phase. So really like strategically thinking about, what am I doing this year? And even strategically approaching quote-unquote maintenance phase, so the phase where we're just aiming to stay at the same weight. And that's actually some of the most undervalued phases of the periodization because most people just think that I just do that naturally. But like, to be honest, the majority of people struggle with that. Their weight just yo-yos all over the place. As I was just saying, it's totally acceptable to have like 5 pounds here more and then over restrict again, go on your juice diet or so, dropping the weight again and up. So actually practicing maintenance is a really, really challenging skill for some. And that can be one of the most helpful times to have a coach during that phase and time. So yes, that's what we mean by nutritional periodization. And the same can go for a muscle gaining phase. So if someone says, I want to build a bigger booty, or I want to have a more defined chest or so, that can and should also be done in a strategic way where we don't just say like, I'm going to eat a ton more and then you pile on more fat as well. But we want to just do that in a more gradual way. We don't need to do a quote unquote dirty bulk in order to actually build some muscle.
No, that's 100% true. Yeah, it's basically like there's phases to it. You know, phase one, we're doing this, then phase two is this. What are maybe some of the misconceptions that you face or that you as a coach get asked about, you know, fat loss or muscle building, like when you're talking with clients? Like, what are they telling you? Oh, I thought it was this, but you're like, no, that's not actually how it works.
Well, so 2 points that I already touched on. So for one, sometimes people do think they need to really increase their calories a ton in order to be able to build muscle. I think often it comes more down to refining the training program, which is perhaps where your area of expertise also comes more in. But like really like pushing yourself a little bit closer to failure, optimizing your recovery. And then in those cases, 100, 200 calories in a surplus can be absolutely sufficient in order to build muscle in a more gradual way without piling on that extra fat. So that might be one point. And often women are especially like afraid of even doing a gaining phase because it sounds like, oh no, I don't want to have a huge weight increase or so. But if you do it in that gradual way, it can actually be really empowering and you restore your hormones during that time and you just feel great overall. So I really encourage anyone really leaning into that and trying that from time to time. The second one would be that adapted metabolism, because sometimes I get people that say that do realize, hey, I have been dieting for a really long amount of time and nothing is really happening. I'm not dropping any weight anymore. I think my metabolism is broken. And first of all, your metabolism doesn't really break, because I would insinuate that you can't really fix it anymore, or that's a more permanent state. If anything, it is adapted. And the great news about that is that, as I mentioned, it can actually be reversed. So if you slowly, gradually increase the calories again, and then you stay at that maintenance level for some time, sending your body sort of a reassurance message of like, hey, we're taking care of you. There is food around. You can start burning again. You can optimize your hormones again. You can increase your energy output again. After a while, it will gain that trust back, and then you can drop back into a calorie deficit, and it will actually, quote unquote, work again. So those are some common misconceptions alongside of, I'm getting older, it's not possible to build muscle, or I'm getting older, it's totally normal to gain weight every single year. And research is just really, really clear that that's actually not true. Yes, of course, as we age, our body naturally wants to get rid of a little bit of the muscle that we have, because it's kind of like, you're not using that. It's expensive tissue. Let's just get rid of it instead of the fat mass. But if we work against that, if we do strength training, if we do consume a diet high or at least moderately high in protein, we automatically at least counter that and maintain the same amount of muscle. And also in regards to the metabolism slowing down as we age, that's really not to the same extent that people think it is. It might be 1% or so from the age of 60 onwards, if that. But aside from that, it's actually much more that our lifestyle just changes. So people might be very busy with their families, be a lot more sedentary, skip the gym more often, drink more alcohol, or be more stressed out. And that manifests in the weight piling on, as opposed to the aging itself being responsible for you gaining the weight.
Yeah, no, definitely. And that is so true. And I think, I mean, I've had those talks with clients before, right? You know, they, especially the elderly clients, and them being like, you know, well, it's just because my body is, since I'm older, I'm weaker. I'm like, that's not how that really works. I was like, think about this. You used to work out, you told me, right, until you were about 35, 40, right? And so up until that point, you were putting, you know, the strenuous activity and that pull and push on the bones from the muscle tissue, and that's what was creating your body's response of, okay, I have to have strong bones. Then you gave up pretty much working out, and you started having a more sedentary lifestyle, but now the muscles weren't being as used, so the body started getting rid of them, like you just said. And then now, okay, the bones are like, well, I don't have as much muscle pulling and pushing on me, so I don't need to be as strong, right? And I was like, it's all a chain linked thing. And the same thing goes for the nutrition. And I do want to point out something that you kind of talked about earlier and then brought it up a little bit as well. I had a client one time that, and it was my first time ever, you know, having a client like this, but it's proof that nutrition plays a role more than just fat loss, right? Or muscle building. I had a client that she was a model, right? And she was in athletics. And when we had first signed up, she wanted to tone up and, you know, everything a little bit more. And I was like, okay, no problem. Let's do your body fat. Let's do, you know, all the readings. And then she was like, one thing I do want to know, like maybe if we can work this in, or if you could help me. And I was like, yeah, whatever it is, let me know. And she's like, well, I haven't had my menstrual cycle in like a year. And I was like, I'm gonna have to get back to you on that. I was like, that is a curveball. You can't just, you know, throw at me right on the first one. I will find an answer. I have problems. And we did. We actually worked that back in, but that had to be solely through nutrition. That was nothing to do with the actual workout itself, but nutrition does play a role, right? So I want you to dive a little bit into the nutrition, how it plays a role, and how it plays a role in hormones.
100%. I love that you bring up this topic. This is such a topic near and dear to my heart. And I think even as women, we're often not aware of how much nutrition affects the menstrual cycle. But what I want to start off with on that point is that sometimes people are not so clear on their goals. So you mentioned she was a model. She was probably very lean, low body fat percentage. And then maybe she wanted to perform really well in her training also. And I often refer to something called the or what I call the triangle of awareness. I learned this from the Nutritional Coaching Institute. So shout out to Jason Phillips. But anyway, so that basically says that if we picture a triangle and one of the corners stands for performance, another corner stands for aesthetics, and another corner stands for health. Most people, they kind of want everything. They just say, I want to look great, I want to perform amazingly, and I want to be as healthy as possible. The truth is, if we want to achieve optimal results in either one of those three corners, it's going to take a little bit away from the other one. Mm-hmm. So even though we sometimes look at athletes and we think, oh, wow, they're, you know, they look really healthy, they perform really well, and they seem to just have it all. The truth is most high performance athletes are probably not as healthy as they could be because they're pushing their bodies too hard. They might also not be as lean as they could be, unless they're, you know, a bodybuilder or whatever. They might not be like the optimal when it comes to their aesthetics because they're just focusing on performance. And so if we are realistic about this triangle, we need to realize, okay, what is my main objective? And if I'm happy to just be like a little bit more in the middle of everything, yes, we can have everything. But this lady that you were alluding to, she was clearly more on the side of aesthetics. And so that took away a little bit from her health triangle side. Mm-hmm. And meaning if we are too lean, that goes back to that whole safety thing where I was saying your body just really, its main function is to keep you alive. And so if it thinks, hey, there's not enough energy around, I'm just focused on getting you to survive day by day, I'm not going to put any energy, additional energy into your reproductive system because you are barely keeping yourself alive. How would you ever be able to keep another human alive as well? We're not going to do that. And so automatically when we get to a certain body fat percentage as women, it's very likely that our menstrual cycle suffers. It's not always the case. Not all bikini competitors or models or whatever lose their cycle, but it is a possibility, a reasonably high possibility at that. And even men, as they get to a very, very low body fat percentage, they will have lower testosterone levels, their libido will be lower, all these kind of things that point towards reproduction are going to be suffering a little bit from that low body fat percentage. So as you mentioned, like one of the easiest, quote unquote, easiest things we can do is just give the body more energy so that gets that safety signal right away, where we increase the calories and we just have that conversation with the client. Hey, if you really want to be healthy, let's say this lady, maybe she wanted to get pregnant within the next 3 to 5 years or so. If that is the case, we do need to add a little bit of body fat to your body, even if it's just a couple percent, you know, that might be 3 to 5 pounds or so. You're still going to look amazing. In fact, you might actually look a little bit more defined, a little bit rounder, more curves, whatever, but in a good way. So we're going to bring up your calories, ideally also through higher healthy fats, because fats are directly involved in hormone production. And that way you are more likely to have a more regular cycle. And our cycle really, as a woman, it's kind of a report card for our health. So meaning we can tell by how regular or not regular it is, if your body is in a good state when it comes to longevity type of thing. And I mean, training does play a little bit of a role. And for example, sometimes women lose their cycle, not necessarily just because their calories are low, but also because they're on a really, really high stress load overall. So again, going back to the safety signal, if the body thinks, okay, maybe enough food is around, but you're so stressed out by your work, by your partner, by this and this and this and that, and your training is just another stressor because you're doing all this HIIT all the time, it might also not have a regular cycle. And so we could regulate the training a little bit by maybe moving away a bit from the high stress training into more of a training type that's not as stressful for the central nervous system. So perhaps less compound lifts and more isolation lifts, perhaps less high intensity interval training and a little bit more slow, steady state endurance training. Those are just some possible methods. That's not a one size fits all. But yeah, certainly training, sleep, all these things can also help us establish a regular cycle again.
Yeah, and one that you just mentioned right there too. But yes, there is nutrition, the fitness, like there's, it is not one size fits all. And that's the biggest thing, like I struggle with having to tell people, like when I have these conversations, not that I struggle with it, it's like you obviously can't get it into everyone's mind, but at one time, right? But with social media and thinking that this is how you have to do it to in order to get this result, there is 10,000 paths to get you to that end goal, and you have to find the one key or a couple of the keys that can unlock the paths that work for you, both nutrition and both in fitness. But I can guarantee all the paths include sleep, right? Mm-hmm. And believe me, like I am the biggest like hypocrite like on this one, because I don't sleep as much as I probably should, right? But I know that I should. And that's the difference, right? Other people think that you can get away with it, and they think that you can catch up with it on the weekend. Sleep doesn't work that way, right? It is, you lose the sleep, you lose the sleep, right? There is no on the weekend sleep for all day long and you just recouped all those hours. It doesn't work that way. So if you're not getting enough sleep in anything, like, you know, high blood pressure, or, you know, any of these like random things that you're starting to, you know, have acute, you know, symptoms of, try just getting a little more sleep and see if that changes things first, you know, and if you're not getting enough sleep. But I do want to go into something else that you had mentioned earlier when you were talking about your own story. So I want to rewind a little bit on that, because everything you've just said with nutrition is so crucial. And I think it is so important for people to really know this. How do you help clients with really enjoying, let's say, social settings, or, you know, putting down that piece of cake or enjoying that piece of cake, right? And eating those fun foods now that the holidays are coming up and everything, and staying on track for their goals?
Great question. Just touching on what you just said still, though, I do think that if someone listening is looking for a good coach or trying to establish like what could be a good coach, generally speaking, they're going to ask you a lot of questions. So if they just say, this is how it is, and here's my plan, because you're a woman and you're, I don't know, 5'2" or whatever, you should run for the forest. This is not a good coach. They should almost always say like, oh, it depends. If you're like, is this true or not? It depends. Or like just really going into the nuanced sides of things. And yeah, if someone is like dogmatic and just saying this worked for me, so it's going to work for you, or everyone has to do intermittent fasting or so, I would also say that is a red flag, because yes, it is so personalized. But yeah, great question in regards to how do we fit fun foods in. So I think first of all, it comes down to expectations. Of course, if someone is at the very last stretch of a dieting phase and they want to get rid of those last 2-3 pounds, we do need to be a little bit more dialed in and accurate, and we probably can't or shouldn't eat out 2-3 times per week. It's just not as conducive to your health. So if you are heading into the holidays thinking it's going to be realistic to lose 2 pounds per week, I would kind of rethink that, how you're going to approach the holidays. But if we're just assuming we are wanting to maintain results, we are wanting to just get out of the holidays without having that extra weight piled on, it often comes down to, number one, planning. So thinking about what is this particular day going to look like. If you are anticipating a larger meal in the evening, let's say you might have a friend's get together for Christmas, don't just eat the same things in the morning and at lunchtime that you normally would with a smaller dinner, because obviously that's going to put you into a calorie surplus over your budget for the day. So we kind of need to think about all our food and our nutrition the same way we would with a financial budget. If we know we have a certain amount for a month and you know you have a bigger expense coming up towards the end of the month, you need to be a little bit more cautious earlier on in the month. So that doesn't mean you need to not eat anything for the entire day. It more means that, okay, let's focus our meals earlier on in the day on protein, maybe some fiber, so vegetables, a little bit of fruit, so that you get to that social setting in a satiated state or somewhat satiated, and you're not inclined to eat everything that's on the table. But yeah, allowing for a big enough budget and thinking about ahead of time, am I going to have some alcohol? Yes or no? If so, how much am I going to allot for this? Do I want to share an appetizer or not? Does that mean I still have room for dessert or not? So it often fails with the planning aspect because we just like, oh, I'm going to eat whatever I feel like in the moment. Well, in the moment, chances are you're going to feel like eating everything because everyone else is eating everything. But the truth is, if we eat like everyone else, we're going to look like everyone else. And the norm, unfortunately, is to be overweight, to be unhappy and unhealthy in your body. So I would say starting with the planning aspect is the first point. And even though this sounded really probably super time intensive and a little bit like, oh, I don't want to overthink everything, over the course of time, this is going to almost feel like natural to you so that you kind of just adjust your day ahead. And when it comes to other things like your vacation or longer periods of time where you might be traveling, for instance, I travel quite a lot. Just generally speaking, if we stick with sort of an 80-20 rule where we think about 80% of the time, I still really want to have whole foods. So vegetables, fruit, meat, fish, nuts, seeds, those kinds of things, unprocessed as possible. And 20% of the time, I'm going to allow myself to enjoy myself. That's a really good rule of thumb. So if you're on vacation and might be, you know, 2-week vacation or so, and you're at an Airbnb, maybe you can prepare your own lunch and have just a protein shake and maybe some fruit for breakfast, and then enjoying yourself in the evening, again, in a more moderate way. But I often also think, like, to the theme here of this podcast, how we approach that matters so much. So let's not make everything about the food. Yes, there's going to be food present, and yes, you might be excited about a certain item of food. But if you just focus more on the experience, on the conversation, on, hey, I'm going to pause a little bit, I'm going to slow down, I don't need to shove this in, it's still going to be there in half an hour, I might still be able to eat the same food next week as well. It's not like we're in a food scarcity environment. So just eating more mindfully, that can really, really help us moderate the quantity as well.
Now, that's so awesome. That is so true. Your goals are only really going to be affected if you're not prepared, right? Preparation is key. And it's not like you need to sit there and overthink everything, but just as you have to realize that as you do things, like you said, it gets easier. These tasks that seem so tedious right now become habits, and your habits, like brushing your teeth, isn't that tedious because you do it every single day, right? It's just natural, right? So I think it's so awesome. Now, I do want to, before we wrap up, I'd like to ask this question. You know, on Lisa's legacy wall, you get to leave one lasting message, right? And the message could be anything. It doesn't have to be about nutrition or fitness, but about your personal journey in both coaching, entrepreneurship, or in fitness and nutrition. What would be the lasting message that you leave for the up and coming generations?
That's a loaded question. I love it though. I would say my advice would be, or my wish would be, for everyone to craft their life and live their life intentionally. I spent several years of my life initially just following into the steps that I thought were expected of me, that people wanted me to live, or just because I thought that that was normal. And I realized it doesn't have to be that way. You don't have to be in a job, in a relationship, in a body that you don't actually enjoy. And you can change everything the way that you want it to be. But you need to take the action on it. No one else is going to come and do that for you. And I think that would be my one wish for everyone listening, that they can truly say at the end of their life, I lived my life intentionally.
That is awesome. That is a great message on the legacy wall. Where can people connect with you and learn about what you got going on?
Well, Devin, thank you so much for having me on. It truly was a great conversation. And I am to be found basically anywhere under the name Nutrition Coaching and Life. That's the name of my company. So I'm most active on Instagram, Nutrition Coaching and Life, YouTube as well. My podcast is the Nutrition and Life Podcast. And the website is also Nutrition Coaching and Life.
And guys, that will all be in the show notes. So make sure you guys check out what Lisa has going on. She is crazy knowledgeable, as you've seen and heard, in nutrition. So if you do need help with any of that, please reach out to her. And Lisa, I just wanted to take a time again and say thank you so much for, you know, spending your time and coming on and dropping some knowledge for the Mindset Cafe.
My pleasure.
All right, guys. Well, we appreciate you guys. We love you guys. Make sure you guys share this episode with a friend. But until next time. Only positive thoughts, missing the game. Life mindset causes stress. Got my mind on the prize, I can't.